If Christmas trees are pagan symbols, should the Christian have one? The answer to that and other questions on this edition of Key Life.
Hi, I'm Mike Kellogg, and you are now listening to Key Life, where you can find honest answers to honest questions about God's Word. Now, here is Steve.
Thanks, Mike. As always, on Friday in a busy Christmas season, my pastor's here. We're going to deal with some questions some of the staff put together that have nothing to do with anything but Christmas.
Yeah, it should be good.
Yeah, we really are. Hey, by the way, we do love to have your questions, and the only dumb ones, the one you don't ask, but you do have to write them down, and you can send them to Key Life, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3, or Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794, or you can email us, and if you want a response, give us your regular mailing address. steve@keylife.org. And don't use the 1-800 number for questions. Well, you can. You just won't get an answer. You can get the little booklet, Christmas Meditations, and the best time to read that's after Christmas. Or you can get the magazine, or you can become a part of our Key Life K family. That's all free. Or you can make a contribution or whatever. But you got to write the question out. And we'll get to your questions in just a moment. With your leaders in prayer.
All right. But Father, we do come into your presence today on this Friday before Christmas. And Lord, what a busy time it is. We're rushing. Some of us have things planned. Some of us don't. Some of us are well planned and enjoying it. But most of us, Lord, are busy. And yet, Lord, we bow down in your presence, thankful that we're yours and thankful for all that Christmas means, that you sent your Son and he came for us. And he came as a baby, Lord, and became one of us. And we praise you for all that that means. Lord, we do ask you today to pick us out of the busyness and some of the depression. For some people, Christmas is an awful time. Holidays are terrible because they bring back such bad family memories. And yet, Lord, we pray that you would cause us to think of you, the God of the universe who created us, the one who sent his Son to redeem us, and the Spirit who is in us and it draws us constantly to you. And then we're glad that we're your children. Father, we pray that this Christmas time would be a good time, and that you would meet us, and that we would meet you, and that we would be deepened. Father, we also pray that those around us would come to know what this is all about and why we're excited. And it just is an excuse to drink and have a party, but it's an excuse to remember and to rejoice. So, Father, we commit Sunday to you, Lord. It's going to be a busy day in the morning and in the evening, Christmas Eve. And we just do pray for those that are going to be speaking. Thank you for our pastors and teachers and leaders and priests, all those that stand before us and deliver the message that you've given. Father, may they have boldness and freedom and clarity, and may we hear it. Encourage us, Father. And then use us in this world. Father, we thank you for Key Life. Pray that you continue to bless Steve and this ministry into another year. And we commit it to you now as we talk about these questions, make them make sense to us. The answers would help us. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Pete, let me tell you what I did. Since we have these hundreds of bazillion questions that people send in. But I went to Robin, our staff, and I said, Robin, you know, Pete and I are going to be answering on Friday before Christmas, going to be answering questions, and probably people are not interested at this time of the year in the Graf Bellhausen documentary hypothesis. So would you put down some of the most asked questions around Christmas time? Mm-hmm. And she did that, and so I have a sheet here with not necessarily a state or whether it's email or not, she just wrote down some of the questions that we have. So let's get to some of these. If Christmas trees are pagan symbols, should the Christian have one?
Yeah, my question to you first is, what is the pagan symbol of the Christmas tree?
I don't know about it. I looked it up one time, and it was pre-Christian. And in fact, a lot of the stuff that has to do with Christian a lot of Christians say, you know, very, very straight Christians say, we simply do not celebrate Christmas. We do not use those pagan symbols because that denies our faith. And I think it affirms it.
Yeah. And I can't remember either. That's really not fair to put you on the spot like that.
No, it's all right. Don't expect me to know anything anyway.
But, you know, of fertility or of life or evergreen in the midst of the cold, I don't remember exactly what it was a symbol of. But, yeah, okay, we can admit that it came from the pagan background. But I think Christianity down through history has tried to redeem all of those pagan things. And they've gone too far sometimes. By, like in South America, the church, you know, the Catholic Church kind of overlaid the saints of the church over existing female deities and male deities. And that's kind of gone too far. But here in this case, I think, you know, we're redeeming and using wonderful symbols to celebrate new life in Christ. And I don't know, in our family, we love trees and we love lights and all that. And it reminds us of what Christ has done. We've redeemed the holiday, I think the church has.
Oh, I do too. I think every time you bring a tree into your home as a Christian and you decorate it, you do it in the name of Christ and you say, this is a symbol that Jesus is Lord of all.
That's right.
And the pagans are dead.
Yeah.
And so forget about it. Nobody's worshiping these gods anymore, except some real weird French groups.
That's right. What's on the top of the tree? A star? Speaking about God coming, or an angel.
That's right.
Or a cross. I don't know what you have on yours.
Well, I haven't done the cross thing yet.
Or Anna has done, because Anna will do all that.
Oh, I'm the Scrooge, and she is Miss Christmas Spirit. I mean, she does stuff. We put up a village in our house.
I know. I've seen it. It's amazing.
Isn't that wild?
It's amazing.
That takes up our whole dining room and spills out over to the living room and the family room. And she works for weeks. I mean, she's been collecting these things for our entire married life, almost 40 years. And so, you know, we've got people say, well, you have a Christmas village? And I say, well, not exactly. It's sort of like a Christmas metropolis or something.
New York City.
And we have at least two Christmas trees, or at least three Christmas trees. And I mean, everywhere I turn, except my study. I put a lock on that. And that's our agreement. She won't come in here and do anything in my study at Christmas. But yeah, and I look at the symbols and I rejoice in the lordship of Christ over all of that. And besides, I think Christians sometimes get uptight about those kinds of things. We use pagan god names from our month, the names of the months. And you know, I think we can get so uptight and dot every I and cross every T that's all we ever do. And we need to then move to a place that's 100 miles from any known person.
Now, I think we'd say if you have a real conviction on that, and you don't want to sell, you don't want to have a tree, you don't have lights, that's fine. But there's no place in scripture that says you can't. And don't be a Scrooge on other Christians and make it a spiritual or non-spiritual.
Don't universalize your stuff in a way that
kills people.
And I tell you something, this week I've been talking about Christmas is for children. And you know, I wouldn't want to be a kid in the family, where they didn't.
Oh yeah.
Where it's just like every other day.
Oh yeah.
Well, but that's, I'm universalizing my experience now. We just told them not to do that with them. Let's go to another one here. If Christmas is not the real day of Jesus' birth, then it isn't. I don't think.
Right. I would agree. It was probably in the summer.
Yeah.
That year,
yeah,
it was probably mid-year in the summer, June, July.
Why do we celebrate it?
I'm sure you have, because you've read everything. Just about. I mean, the calendar and all of that, how complex the calculation of the Christian year is and all of the controversies that they've had historically over that. I mean, I couldn't even talk about all that, except that's as much as I know. It's right there. It's complex.
Well, you know more than I do. You know, the thing about that, too, is that as we look at that calendar, and it's not necessarily related to the actual dates, but again, that was a pagan crossover where we took over their dates.
That's right. That's right. We took it over, and we've won. And who
Jesus is Lord.
That's right. So we're not even thinking about whatever pagan issue was connected with that.
it's kind of nice. It's at the winter solstice, yeah. And, you know, at the time when, you know, you didn't have Christmas, man, especially you guys that live in cold, gray areas. Now, we live in Florida, so we don't have a problem.
That's right.
But for you guys that live in cold, gray areas, man, you'd be suicidal if you didn't have Christmas in the middle of all
nothing,
that.
That's right. Nothing to look forward to. Courier and I would be out of business. You know? But so I don't think there's a problem. It's you know, it's just not a problem.
You know, I've often thought that we ought to let the pagans have this December 25th, and it's not going to happen. So, but I've often thought we could do ours in June or July, and which means we'd do both. I mean, we get two parties. We have one. We wouldn't have to feel guilty because we didn't think about Jesus all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And we wouldn't have to always try to make pagans feel guilty because they've taken Christ out of Christmas.
Yeah.
And so we just all have a good time. We celebrate not anything. We just celebrate to celebrate on December 25th. And then in June, God's people would have this wonderful second Christmas, which was the real one. And you're not, this dog isn't going to hunt, is it? I can tell it in your eyes.
Steve, I'm sure, but your voice, you can tell that. You start a new religion, man.
All right, let's get another one of these. What should Christian parents tell their children when they ask about Santa Claus?
Again, I think that's up to your own convictions as a parent. I'm not going to tell you what to do. We did, with our two boys, you know, they're 16 and 14, we didn't do the Santa Claus thing much. In fact, the reason is our firstborn, when he was really young, he was on my shoulders at the mall in Connecticut, he saw Santa Claus and absolutely freaked out. And so, you know, he was walking down in the red suit.
Santa Claus was pretty scary. Yeah.
Scared. He became a Christian that night at about 1.
Hey, listen, if you have little kids listening right now, and you figure one particular side of this issue, they haven't understood what we said to this point, but why don't you just turn the radio off? Because we could really mess up your family here if you're not careful.
That's true. I'm glad you said it. So for us, it was like a non-issue, and we didn't do it with Joel, and we didn't do it with John. We sort of played it with Jessie, our six-year-old.
Yeah.
And she figured it out, I think, already.
Yeah. So. They're brothers. They're her brothers.
Yeah.
Probably told her. We never said there was, but we never said there wasn't.
Uh-huh.
But the culture said there was, so we just went along with it, and then... You know, people always say, and then they'll find out there isn't any Santa Claus, and they'll think, well, he told me about God. And that's okay. It's the bunny rabbit. It's the problem. look, we're out of time. But you would just say, you know, pray it through. And I think it's fun for children to have an imagination and to be a part of it.
It gives you a bridge to talk about Christ.
All right. Good stuff. Merry Christmas, man. Would you join me on Christmas Day?
Yeah.
Only good. We'll do that. Guys, we got to get out of here. Before we go, whenever you write or call, be sure to give us the call letters of this station, and Key Life is a production of Key Life Network.